Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. This morning, Andrew Marr interviewed the Home Secretary, Sajid Javid. With the possibility of a no-deal Brexit on the horizon, the conversation soon turned to the government's security preparations.
I want to ask you what you think the security implications are for that, because I want to read you three experts. Sir John Sawers, the former head of MI6, says any form of Brexit makes our security more difficult to manage. The harder the Brexit, the greater the damage. Lord Ricketts, who was national security advisor for the government until recently, said no deal would be a really serious and immediate problem for British national security. And finally, Neil Basu, the current head of counter-terrorism policing at the Met, says no deal would be a very serious flaw in our security arrangements. It will inevitably make the UK and Europe less safe than it is today. Are they wrong about that?
Well, let me say a couple of things to that. First of all, I'm planning for a deal, but it makes absolute sense.
First of all, do you agree with them or not?
I'll answer your question. It makes sense that we plan for all contingencies, which of course includes no deal planning. So we've been doing months and months of work on that. It is true, it is absolutely true, that if we have a no deal situation, there will be certain capabilities that we rely on for security with the EU, such as databases.
About intelligence and databases.
Databases, Interpol. Arrest warrant. Others that will change. Of course that will change. And keeping that in mind, we have been working on mitigants. And I'm not pretending for a second through Interpol or through the Council of Europe on extradition you can have a like-for-like capability. So there will be a change in capability.
To be clear, we would be less safe. They're right.
I would say this. I'd put it this way. There will be a change in capability, but it's worth putting it all into perspective. Most of these capabilities were only relevant for us from 2015 onwards. And I'm absolutely certain, as Home Secretary, this is my most important job, is to do everything I can to keep this country safe. I'm absolutely confident that we will continue to be one of the safest countries in the world, even in a no-deal scenario.
Marr also asked Javid about alternative solutions to the Irish backstop arrangement. Javid was more optimistic than some of his colleagues.
That in terms of an alternative arrangement, it can be done. In my own department, I've got Border Force. And I asked Border Force months ago to advise me to look at what alternative arrangements are possible. And they've shown me quite clearly you can have no hard border on the island of Ireland and you can use existing technology. Okay. It's perfectly possible. The only thing that's missing is a bit of goodwill on the EU side.
Labour faces a potential rebellion from MPs representing constituencies that voted strongly to leave the EU. The Shadow International Trade Secretary, Barry Gardiner, tried to convince them to toe the line.
So what do you say to those Labour MPs who have gone and talked to her about having money sent to their constituencies, very poor parts of Britain often, people like John Mann in Bassett Law and elsewhere, Dennis Skinner and so forth, in return for voting for the Conservative deal?
Look, I understand why their constituents are crying out from the lack of investment under the austerity of this government. Of course I do. But we had a manifesto. That manifesto was about a £500 billion transformation fund. It was about regional banks. It was ensuring that those areas that had been left behind by this government actually had the investment that they need. Why would you, as an MP, as a Labour MP who stood on that manifesto, say, you know what, if I can get a little bit of money extra into my constituency, I don't mind about the rest of the country not getting what actually we promised in our manifesto, which was investment as a whole into those areas to revitalise all parts of our economy. You know, my vote is not for sale. Right.
So you agree with John McDonnell, Shadow Chancellor, who says this is transactional politics, which is shaming our political system.
Well, look, the American system for many, many years has been based on pork barrel. It's been based on if I can get something for my state, my constituency, then I'll do a deal. But they have a very different system. That's why in the UK we have put forward a manifesto that actually would deliver what is needed in Bassett Law, in those other areas. But actually, I think anyone who reflects on the manifesto that they stood on and the benefit that that would do for the whole of the country in getting investment through would have to say, I can't just be selfish about this. I can't simply take care of my own immediate community. We have to take care of the whole country. And that's why we need the investment programme that Labour put forward.
Sophie Ridge spoke to the actual International Trade Secretary, Liam Fox, about the effects of no deal. Fox sought to maintain some perspective and provide reassurance on the issue.
Theresa May is saying that she wants to get some changes to that withdrawal agreement, but if you look at what EU politicians and leaders are saying, it simply doesn't chime with that at all. Donald Tusk says the withdrawal agreement not open for renegotiation. The Irish government says the same. Macron says the deal is not renegotiable. Juncker says it's the best and only possible deal. Is the government deluded?
Well, are they really saying that they would rather not negotiate and end up in a no-deal position? I think that's not a responsible approach to take. It would have an impact on the European economy, on jobs and prosperity. And for those leaders...
And on the British economy.
And for the British economy, absolutely. And so it's in all our interests to get to that agreement. For the EU to say, we're not going to even discuss it, seems to me quite irresponsible.
We're not ready for no deal, are we, frankly?
Well, we would be able to deal with that scenario, but it wouldn't be in our interest to go there. It seems to me we've got to guard against two things. One is irrational pessimism that says, you know, everything will be a catastrophe, and irrational optimism which says everything will be absolutely okay. The truth lies between the two. If we left the European Union with no deal, there would be disruption to our trade, the disruption to European trade as well. It wouldn't be in our best interest to do that. Of course, it's survivable, but we don't want to be putting our economy into a position of unnecessary turmoil.
Ridge was also joined by the Shadow Attorney General, Shami Chakrabarty. Ridge asked her about the political crisis engulfing Venezuela, which her party leadership has been reluctant to condemn.
What's your take on what's happening and how the international community should react?
So, here's the thing. When I'm not an expert in a particular region, like South America, I go to my trusted sources for the picture. Mm-hmm. And for me, as a human rights campaign, my trusted sources have always been Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch. And I would say this to your viewers, it's always a good place to start when you want to know what might be happening in a country. And last year's reporting on Venezuela, a pretty damning. And that's in terms of disappearances, that's in terms of crushing dissent, that's in terms of reports of torture of prisoners and political prisoners, and it's completely unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And I think it is incumbent on people like me, as someone of the left, to call out governments and states of the left, because human rights have to be applied with an even hand.
Now, should Jeremy Corbyn have been tougher then, do you think, in his statements on Maduro?
Well, I think that I think Jeremy is a lifelong human rights defender, but of course sometimes it's difficult for him to cut through in the media, because people just say, well, you're a socialist, just like the Venezuelans.
But I'm talking about his public statements. The last couple of weeks.
He has said that you have to have the rule of law and you have to have human rights. And clearly, if you match that with the reporting of the situation in Venezuela, that's not happening. However, and I do have to say this, it would be very helpful if the United States and the UK Conservative government would, yes, of course, call out Venezuela, but also look across the way at Honduras, where you have a US-backed government that is also crushing dissent. I think that this kind of human rights defence on the planet only works when we're all applying these standards with an even hand.
And finally, the Liberal Democrat leader Sir Vince Cable has some cause for cheer after The Observer reported that six Labour MPs might be poised to jump ship.
Have you been approached by MPs from other parties about this?
Yes, indeed. It's well reported for months that there is actually a much bigger group of Labour MPs, not just six, who are deeply unhappy with Corbyn's leadership and don't see any
future. And so they've spoken to you about it then?
Oh, yes, indeed. Well, there's Conservatives as well. It's not just Labour Party.
And what have they said to you?
I think as of now, they're basically working with us to stop Brexit, to try and get a people's vote. There is a very strong group of people working as a team to try and deliver that. I think when the Brexit issue is resolved for one way or the other, I think they will reconsider their position in the Labour Party. I can't predict exactly what will happen, but I think there's a real chance of a significant group breaking away, and if that happens, we will work with them in some form.
And what does that mean, then? Does that mean that they will join the Liberal Democrats, or does it actually mean that the Liberal Democrats will effectively be subsumed into another party?
No, we're not subsuming ourselves into anything, but I don't know exactly what form this could take. It partly depends on the events of the next few weeks, actually, around Brexit.
It could be a coalition not standing against each other. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Well, there are all kind of possibilities, but I think where there are common values, we will operate together. It's very difficult to set up a new party under the first-past-the-post system. I think they recognise that. And it will be sensible, if we do have common values and common interests, that we work together.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes Store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join me again next week.